want to welcome everyone, and we'll get started on today's message. In September of 2014, I preached my dad's funeral. My mom and dad had both asked if I would do that, and so I did. And this morning, I actually want to start off the message reading an excerpt from my dad's funeral, and then that'll have application as to what the message is. So let me just start off again. This is just an excerpt from my dad's funeral 2014. Let me tell you a story about my dad's hands. I remember of a variety of things about them during my lifetime. Most of them were good. Some of them were bad. There were hands that threw a baseball, even though I remember it happening only one time. There were hands of clenched fists because he was frequently angry about something, sometimes because I hadn't behaved very well, probably. There were greasy, dirty, calloused hands from working long hours at a noisy, oily machine at the factory. There were smelly hands from gasoline, from working part-time jobs at service stations. There were hands wrapping my backside in an effort to correct my misbehavior and make me a better man. There were hands that pushed an old lawn boy mower he'd repaired dozens of times to keep it running. There were soil-stained hands from hours of tilling and planting and hoeing in the garden. There were sore, scratched, and bruised hands from cutting truckloads of firewood for the cold winters. There were giving hands when they were holding the keys to my first car, a 1964 Chevy Impala. There were clapping hands when he watched me play in a high school football game or compete in a wrestling match. There were hands that waved goodbye when he and Mom left and moved to Florida. And there were aged, bony, wrinkled hands that stroked the soft white fur of his little dog named Bentley. Recently, as my dad laid bedfast in his home and needing full-time care, he told me, kind of just matter of fact, bluntly, he just looked over and said, "I need you to cut my fingernails." They had turned a yellowish color and were long and thick. So I grabbed some sturdy nail clippers and began to trim them up a bit. I'd never cut his nails before, so I carefully lifted one finger at a time, holding the tip between my thumb and index finger. I went very slowly, making sure not to cut too deep. And one by one, clip by clip, the job was completed. I put the clippers away and never thought about it again. But a few days later, I recalled that scene. And as I shared with Jan and a couple of friends what I had done, cutting the nails for the very first time of my dad, I broke down in tears. All of a sudden, it occurred to me that at age 56, I had held the hands of my dad for the very first time. Well, that's a pretty powerful story about how my dad's hands affected me. Well, can you imagine how powerful the hands of Jesus might affect me and how they might affect you? Mark tells a great story about Jesus taking hold of the hand of a very sick woman. So that's where we're starting today. As we continue in Mark, it's Mark chapter 1, and we're starting with verse 29. After Jesus left the synagogue with James and John, they went to Simon and Andrew's home. Now Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. They told Jesus about her right away, so he went to her bedside and took her by the hand and helped her sit up. And then the fever left her, and she prepared a meal for them. If you remember, the first healing miracle that Mark records is of a demon-possessed man. Jesus healed him by using his voice to command that evil spirit to come out. In this case, Jesus heals using only his hand. Not saying a word, he walks over to the bed of Simon's mother-in-law. Maybe her eyes were closed as she was sweating with a high fever. Maybe she was awake, but delirious. We're not told how long she had this fever, but chances are she had already tried taking cool baths, tried various medicines from Walgreens or the local drugstore, or even the town physician had come to see her. But nothing was working, and the fever continued to climb. The Bible says that we just read, Jesus took her by the hand and helped her sit up. Then the fever left. Once again, we see Jesus' healing as being instantaneous. Not only did the fever leave instantly, but she felt well enough to head straight to the kitchen to make dinner. Did somebody say tacos? Jesus went with his four disciples to Simon and Andrew's home. Likely, they were going to be served a meal. But when they arrived, it was Jesus who ended up serving a healing miracle. And remember, this is a major theme in the book of Mark, that Jesus came to serve, not to be served. 2 weeks ago, I taught that Jesus chooses us. Last week, the lesson was Jesus delivers us. And this week, the lesson is Jesus heals us. Now, normally when we're all together in church, as a part of every Sunday service, we allow time for the congregation to share prayer requests. And it never fails, and this is probably true in all churches, never fails that the majority of requests are for physical healing for a friend, a family member, or even for themselves. Same is true on Facebook. The vast majority of friends that request prayer are because someone is needing physical healing. And of course, in Jesus' day, people didn't post their requests on Facebook. Once they realized the power Jesus had to heal, they just showed up in person. And that's where we are at in Mark chapter 1, as we continue reading about Jesus healing many people. So we're going to continue on now, starting with verse 32 through 34. That evening, after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons, because the demons knew who he was, he didn't allow them to speak. Many, that's the key word. That's what I was trying to emphasize from Scripture. Many were sick and or demon-possessed. Jesus healed many with various diseases. Jesus cast out many demons. So let's conclude today's teaching on Jesus heals us by focusing on the fact that Jesus heals many people and he heals many types of issues. That's one of the main points. Now that's foreign to our culture today. Today we live in a world where healing requires specialists most of the time. Doctors that focus on just one part of the body. We all probably have a general practitioner. That's a doctor who's trained in a wide range of medicine and medical procedures. In addition, though, most of us likely have seen a doctor that's called a specialist. And yet there are hundreds of categories of doctors who specialize in parts of the body, you know, like the heart, the kidneys, the brain, the joints, feet, hands, spine, shoulders, skin. I could go on and on and on. There are also some doctors who specialize in only treating females, or only children, or only the elderly. Some doctors focus on just the vascular system, the digestive system, the immune system. On and on and on we could go. Some specialize in cancer, or even a specific type of cancer. Some specialize in pain management. There are doctors that who focus only on the teeth, or the eyes, or the ears, nose, and throat. There are doctors who focus on the mental health. And really, I've just scratched the surface of the types of specialists that there are. Here's my point. From this scripture, it tells us that Jesus is the ultimate specialist. He can heal people from all things. And we have a Bible full of examples to prove it. In fact, as we continue to study through Mark, this will not be the only teaching on Jesus' healing. There will be several more. And as we get to the other stories of healing, I'll try to bring out other factors or points about Jesus' healing. So if Jesus has healed, and we know that because we have examples in the Bible, but not only that, we have examples in everyday life. As I mentioned at the church service, when people ask for healing of themselves, a friend, a family, we many times then in the future hear about a praise of how Jesus did heal. Even things that didn't seem like the doctors could heal, prayer to God caused Jesus to be able to heal them. So here's a key point as I get ready to close here. So if Jesus has healed, Jesus can heal. It's up to us to ask Jesus if he will heal. And I'm just going to say that one more time because it's so important. So if Jesus has healed, Jesus can heal. And it's up to us to ask Jesus if he will heal us, our friend, our family member. Now, our Heavenly Father may certainly use doctors, surgeons, therapists, medications to heal us. But our ultimate healer behind all that medicine, who's the one that gave them the intellect to understand the body, to be able to know how to treat it? But Jesus. Our ultimate healer is Jesus Christ. But also, his will be done. We will read throughout Scripture that Jesus heals many people of many things. But Jesus didn't heal everyone of everything all the time. His will be done is the key as we pray for healing. And regardless of God's will for physical healing, which is what we're talking about today, I can tell you this, it's always God's will to provide spiritual healing. And that's the greatest healing of all. God's will is clear about this. He offers spiritual healing to everyone. Or the Bible says God wants everyone to be saved, 1 Timothy 2:4. And by his wounds we are healed, 1 Peter 2:24. And also in the Old Testament, Isaiah 53:5 tell us that. As Christians, we have been healed from the penalty and power of our sin by Christ's wounds of all things. That's what the Bible tells us. We've been healed by his death in our place. And we've been healed by his suffering for our benefit. Just as Jesus took Simon Peter's mother-in-law by the hand, Jesus is reaching out to you to take you by the hand. Will you accept his hand? Will you accept his healing? Let's pray. Father, the word has been presented. The word's been presented of how you are a healer, how you can heal, how you're willing to heal, how you have the power to heal. And we know it's up to your will and wisdom to know if and when to heal on this side of eternity or maybe on the other side of eternity. What a blessing it is to know that we can come to you in prayer individually, quietly, or even in a group and ask others to pray for us, a friend, a family member, for healing. And so, Father, I'm just asking any of those that right now need healing that they would bring that to you. You already know. And that if it's your will to heal, that you would begin doing that even right now. And for those people that do get healed, it'd be my prayer that they would tell somebody about it in the future and encourage all of us to know that Jesus heals us. In Jesus' name I pray that. Amen. Now the final blessing, just a little bit different. Here it is. Be blessed with healing, and then use your healing to be a blessing to others.